Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Action Engagement Survey Results, Chapter 3, The Questions, Part 3. The questions this cast answers are, how should I respond to my engagement survey results? What should I do with my scores on an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you're a professional who's looking to communicate more effectively, we can teach you how to do so. And in September, we've taught two great options for you. One in person, September 13th, we're hosting an Effective Communicator Conference in LA. So if you're in the LAX area, you want to come out, learn about effective communication, we'd be delighted to host you on September 13th. If you need to attend online, you can absolutely do that. We're hosting an event on the 19th of September. It's a virtual Effective Communicator event, and it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up for either of these online at manager-tools.com/training. We'd love to see you in September.
All right, Mark, welcome back.
Thanks.
Of you who don't know, Mark may or may not have been on the road again. Oh, matter of fact, are you at actually your house now?
I am. Yeah. I left Monday morning and went to Chicago, and we had a public conference, and I had an executive coaching client there, and then flew to Dallas last night, got in about midnight, got up this morning at 5 and got on a flight to SFO, and got to the house at 11:45, and at 12 o'clock was on the phone with a CEO client about some transformation he was trying to do, and got off the phone at 12:45, and now it's 1:15, and we're recording.
Now you get to do the really fun stuff.
I told somebody the other day, I had to take vacation, and I'm retired. I just don't think that's right.
No, that's, we could talk about that. I could coach you on that. These people really want to talk about it.
I need it. I clearly.
Because that's what I've been doing, sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, chatbot notwithstanding.
No. Don't announce anything there. Nobody knows about that. Oh, yeah, I guess they do know.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So let's get to what really matters today, which is to continue on our very short series on engagement survey results.
Longest podcast, 20 years I've been writing podcasts, longest podcast I've ever written.
Yeah, so we got to get going. We got a lot more to cover. So this is part 3. So we've talked about kind of questions and strategy. We've talked about questions regarding the main drivers in business. We're kind of going through the categories of this actual survey that Mark's gone through. And now we're going to continue on where we were and talk about questions regarding organization, strategy, and culture.
Yep. So just at a high level, remember, guys, you're going to get feedback or input from your organization about categories, things like teamwork and quality of life and so on. But that's not where your opportunity to excel is. You've got to dig into those categories and find out what the questions were that you scored better or worse on. It's just the engagement survey industry is really poorly managed in this regard in terms of its potential for improving outcomes, results, retention, satisfaction, those kinds of profitability, those kinds of things. So we're going to go through a series of questions that this particular survey had under organization, strategy, and culture.
First one was producing quality work is a top priority within this organization.
Yeah. So this is a simple ask and capture question, and you should ask your team, what am I or the organization doing that makes you think that quality work isn't a top priority, assuming your score was low? Now, look, folks, forget about the survey for a minute. If you have this problem, the solution to this problem, if you have it, and we hope you don't, is performance feedback about work quality. Okay. Now, too many people say, well, what are the qualitative measures? What are the organizational measures and so on? Well, that's all well and good, but I certainly hope that organizations don't think that they could make some broad organizational quality number and then say, we need to attack this, because the individual managers would say, well, I'm in shipping, I'm in purchasing, I'm in logistics, I'm on engineering, I'm in design. How would I, that generalized number, how would I go about it? And the solution for every manager, if you want to improve work quality, is to give more positive feedback when work quality is high, and you don't necessarily need a specific measurable organizational standard. If there is no standard that's clear, then you are the standard. And if you think work is high quality, tell people that. Hey, can you give some feedback? Sure. When you produce documents like this, it's impressive. Thank you. And if it's not good, say, hey, can I give some feedback? When you don't meet this quality standard regarding testing a particular piece of software, it slows down our delivery time. And that costs the firm money. Can you do that better next time? That's it. So look, after you've asked your ask and capture question, what am I or the organization doing that makes you think quality work isn't a top priority? If your score was low, if you're doing one-on-ones, keep doing them. And it's now time to start rolling out feedback. And we have podcasts on feedback. Those of you who are licensees know that at the bottom of this podcast and on the webpage, there are links to all the podcasts that are referred to in this particular cast and this guidance. And we have multiple links to our feedback model on that page and in your show notes. And you're looking at the show notes on the web. And so you click the link and you can go to any one of the podcasts, including, as I say, feedback. So obviously, positive feedback for good quality of work would be an ongoing thing for you looking for it. Please don't fall into the trap of not giving feedback, positive feedback, just because people are only doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the classic dodges. In fact, I started writing down this week, Mike, while I was traveling, the biggest myths in management. And this is one of them, one of the first ones I wrote down, in part because I was writing this podcast on my way to Chicago, which is you don't give feedback when people do the base standard of the work. You don't give them positive feedback for that. Because, I mean, I can burst the bubble of the manager who would say, no, he's just doing his job. I don't want to reward him. Well, actually, you're not rewarding him. You're just giving him positive feedback. But all I have to say is this thought experiment. Imagine a world where every one of your directs always did all of the baseline responsibilities of their job. They were always on time. They always delivered work on time. They were always on time to meetings. Their work quality was good enough. It met the standard. They communicated well enough and so on. You would have so much.
Is this heaven?
Yes. No, it's Iowa. Yeah. Yeah. Look, whether people realize or not, managers are always saying, well, there's no quality metrics. There's no standards. Look, you're the deliverer of the organization's belief about quality of work. If your people don't think the organization appreciates high quality work, and again, the way they would know that the organization presents high quality work is that the organization, meaning you, Mr. or Ms. Manager, is that the organization, you, actually said something when they do something to standard, then they don't think that you value high quality work, and by extension, the company as well. Now, look, we mentioned one-on-ones and feedback. If you're not doing one-on-ones already, you got to start with one-on-ones. Don't roll out the manager tools feedback model without rolling out one-on-ones. It works. It just takes a lot longer, and there's a lot more heartache from zero to one in that effort. We have Trinity rollout guidance about how to roll out one-on-ones feedback, coaching, and delegation. Again, links at the bottom of your show notes for those of you who are licensees. Follow the timeline. Start delivering effective feedback in a professional way after you've done 3 months worth of one-on-one. Now, I mentioned this to somebody in Chicago that I had written this cast, and this is one of the things we're going to be recording. And he said, you know, I just can't wait that long. I said, well, what are you going to do? He says, I don't know. So in other words, you're going to do nothing for 3 months. And then I'm going to come to you again and say, you know, if you'd started, you'd be able to move on to feedback. Yeah, I know, but I need something faster. I need a silver bullet. I just like saying, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The reason there are no silver bullets in management, everybody wants them, but the reason there are no silver bullets is there are no werewolves in management either. So roll the stuff out, okay? Don't worry that you won't get the feedback for a couple of months. You're not going to get surveyed again for a year or more, probably two. It's expensive. And there'll be plenty of organizational directions you'll likely have to implement, good or bad, coming out of the engagement survey, but you need something to build the fundamental strength of your team, and that's one-on-ones and feedback.
What about the idea, Mark? God, I almost hate to raise this question, but some people are thinking it, so I'm going to have to say it, and you can roll your eyes at me, but yeah. Here we go. What if our organization really does not value quality, i.e., we move fast and we're going to break things along the way?
Right. So I would say two things about that. One is, okay, then probably a low quality score is not going to be a problem for the company. And so you don't need to spend a lot of time here. Mm-hmm. You really don't, right? It's not going to be an area well enough below the mean or the median or whatever that, oh, we've got to pay attention to that. Okay. Now, some people would say, well, the low scores in quality means now they're going to care. And I won't have any air cover because all the people above me, they're going to know that this will go away. And I have to flavor of the month this and drag my feet. And 6 months from now, they'll move on to some other initiative designed to improve the company. And that won't work either. And of course, those managers are classic flavor of the month managers. And they ought to be taken out back and sent over to the competitors' offices. And if you're somebody who believes in quality and you don't like the fact that your company doesn't believe in quality, go somewhere else. Okay. It's a very rich world. There are always opportunities. I don't care how tight the job market is. There are always opportunities at folks who have delivered results from retention in any company, small, medium, or large. Now, I'm going to make it real easy for you. If you do care about quality, you are talking to your people with positive and negative feedback or some version of that about quality. If you're not talking about quality because, quote, they're just doing their jobs, or you're not holding people accountable when they don't make it because I don't want to hurt their feelings, then actually you don't care about quality because caring is evinced through behavior and you're not behaving like a manager who cares about quality.
Yeah. I think that's always the key, right? How does somebody's direct supervisor, manager talk or enforce quality?
Exactly. If you have a boss who says, I need you to solve this in 6 weeks, she's an idiot. Okay. It won't work. And that's why engagement surveys sometimes get done every other year in many cases. You can roll out the entire manager tools trinity, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation in a year. You can roll out one-on-ones and feedback in about 4.5-5 months. And it will fundamentally transform your organization or your money back.
There you go.
That's the answer.
Okay. Next one. This organization encourages new ideas and innovation.
Yeah. So this is probably best addressed with a series of questions. Okay. Ask and capture. What can I do to encourage you to come forward with new ideas? Also, what am I doing that's keeping you from innovating? And what is the company doing that doesn't encourage ideas and innovation? Now, there's all kinds of things you can do, and we'll have more suggestions because there are other questions that deal with ideas and innovation in this, because as Peter Drucker said, companies only do two things, marketing and innovation, not the standard definition of marketing. But Drucker means, when he says marketing, he means figuring out what customers want. And the innovation means changing because customers are going to change their demands from you to something else that they want at another time. And that's what companies basically do. They market and they innovate. And if you want to encourage ideas and innovation, you have to learn to not talk first in your meetings. A lot of the people say what they think first. Okay, guys, what do you think? What are your ideas? Let's throw some things on the board. Follow our guidance about brainstorming. It's pretty simple. Most engineers aren't good at brainstorming. They think they're looking for the one solution, and so they attack other solutions that aren't the one. You can do all kinds of things, small things. You don't have to run brainstorming sessions 3 days a week to be an innovative boss. You can simply start saying, I need ideas, folks. I want to hear your ideas before I come up with a plan.
Yeah, and that's encouraging, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. What are your ideas?
And actually, encourage is actually in the definition of feedback as well. So
yes,
let's go back a step and talk about feedback again.
So when people bring you ideas, you should give them positive feedback.
There you go.
Time is running out to sign up for the Manager Tools Executive Speaker Series before our first speaker session. On September 14th, Mark Horstman, co-founder of Manager Tools, will be addressing the Executive Speaker Series group as he discusses leaders' final responsibility. If you'd like to join Mark and the rest of our group for our call on September 14th, sign up today on our website at manager-tools.com.
Okay, next one. I can approach management with suggestions and criticisms.
We could easily, if we were going to ask and capture on this one, only ask about the organization here, management being like higher management. But it's better to focus on what we managers can do, because if you're asking for input about what senior people are going to do, you're not going to have anything to do because out of that. And it's unlikely that senior people are going to listen to what junior people think about how they could be more open to suggestions and criticisms. And believe me, a suggestion box is a dumb idea.
And, you know, most people aren't willing to, anyways, to go. They're not going to walk up to the CEO and give the CEO suggestions or criticism. No. They won't even go up one level other than their own direct manager. I've told this story before, I think probably 20 years ago, about I was new to a job after getting out of the Army, and we were getting ready. It was Christmas. They did an annual Christmas party, and I was talking to a buddy of mine. I'll leave his name out. You know who he is. You know him very well. Oh, yeah. And I said, John, who is the big boss, John's going to be there. What are you going to say to him? And he goes, like, I don't know. I don't know. He goes, what are you going to say? So I know exactly what I'm going to say. I had like a little 2-minute spiel, and he was just like flabbergasted that I would actually even go talk to him. And by the way, that 2-minute speech or whatever did not have a bunch of criticisms in it.
Yes.
just to be clear. And anyway, long story short, as a result of that 2-minute conversation, because I did end up having the conversation, and then I ended up getting some new job responsibilities as a result of it. So it was pretty cool. But yeah, so my point, people are not going up to the CEO and giving them criticisms. That just doesn't happen. Right. So the fact is, who are they going to talk to? What they're talking about is you, their direct manager.
Yep. So ask them the question, what am I doing that's keeping you from approaching me with suggestions or criticisms? And look, folks, a poor score here, if your team gives you a poor score in this area, you've got a problem with trust. And our guidance for trust is easy. Start doing one-on-ones. Now, we don't mean to make this about our tools, but we know our tools address these things. And it just so happens that the engagement surveys, as clumsy as they are, as expensive as they are, they get to some fundamental principles like trust without really talking about them very much. Humans build trust with other human beings by talking to them about things that are important to them. One-on-ones do that perfectly. Of all the things we ever tried at Horseman & Company, my previous firm that I sold to start this one with Mike, it was all about trust. If trust scores went up, results from retention went up. It was the single greatest correlation we've ever seen. And so we set out to try to find a way to improve trust. And the tool we found that works the best, I'd be happy to recommend a different one if the numbers were better, but I've never found anything even close. That is one-on-ones. Also, a one-on-one is a private conversation. Typically, real suggestions or potentially criticisms, which folks, don't go crazy, go criticizing your boss, tell your boss the truth, and the truth will set you free. Typically, if it's a suggestion that's real, or it's a criticism that is grounded in trust and they understand that it's sensitive, they're only going to come out when there is trust and when we can do it privately. If you've got people who are constantly criticizing you in public, they have a problem. Okay. It's not that you're thin-skinned. It's that that is simply not done among professionals. That's not how you handle criticism. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing with your boss. You just don't do it in front of everybody else and tell him or her she's an idiot. You don't do that. You make your case. If the boss says, okay, we decided X and we're moving on, you professionally subordinate yourself. So, okay, I didn't win that one. I'm going to get behind X. You don't get to talk about why anymore. And if you want one more bite at the apple, you can go visit with your boss privately afterwards and say, I just want another case, another chance to prove my case. And the boss will probably say, yeah. Sometimes they won't, but the good ones will, and say, okay, I listened to you and we're still going my way. Or, hey, you brought up a good point. I'll stay my order here for a couple of days and we'll talk about it further. But that's going to have to happen in private. And the place where privacy happens is one-on-ones.
Yeah. Unless you just want to grandstand and try to look a certain way to your peers.
Yeah. And shorten your career.
Yeah, that's another issue there. All right, next one. At work, we are direct and honest in all our communications.
Yeah, would that we were so lucky. So what you'll do, ask and capture, you'll ask, can you give me some examples of me or others not being direct or honest in our communications? Now, maybe they'll have something. Generally speaking, when I've seen these things facilitated and I've been involved in them, the answers you get are kind of wishy-washy. Well, there was that time 2 years ago. You say, hey, great, you know, thanks. But I wouldn't try to rework my entire management approach because of something that happened 2 years ago, mentioned in a meeting like this with your worst performer, right? And it's important that we mention here something. It applies to many of the other questions. We're trying not to repeat it too many times. When you hear something like this, if somebody says something that's a criticism, or they say you are not a direct or honest or candid person, that's a pretty serious charge. Folks, don't defend yourself. Just say thank you. Don't argue. Now is not the time to debate. In an ask and capture section, you're looking for more input to give you some ideas of possible ways you can address the concerns in the lower scoring areas of your team's engagement survey results. And look, this is another case, this one about direct and honest. A low score suggests that trust might be suffering, might be a problem on your team, and so your team doesn't trust you enough. If someone you don't trust tells you something, if it conflicts with something you think or know, it's easy to see the other person as being not honest or direct. So they're going to see things that they're going to hear things from you they don't like. And if they don't trust you, they're going to say, well, I don't trust him. I don't think he's being candid. I don't think he's being honest. I don't think he's being direct. And one-on-ones, again, are the answer. And there are other things too. You can do town hall meetings, you can do staff meetings, and you can do skip levels, all of which are linked to in the bottom of this cast, this massively long cast. And it is a slow process to build trust. In fact, there's a great book by Admiral McRaven. He's the guy who wrote the book and gave the commencement speech at the University of Texas, which he says, make your bed first thing in the morning. And one of the things he said was, which I loved it, I never heard it said before, you can't surge trust. You can't say, ooh, we have low trust, but I'm going to do something in the next 3 weeks and trust is going to go through the roof.
Skyrocket. Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. So you're going to have to start with a slow process, and that's one-on-ones.
The next one is similar. Employees are always treated with respect.
Yeah. I mean, always is a really strong word. So, I would be very surprised if everybody got fives on a scale of 1 to 5 on this, but you can ask. Can you give me some examples where you're not treated with trust and respect, either by me or the company? And this is one of those questions because it doesn't delineate you. There's a section later about just you. My manager does this. My manager does not do that. In this case, it's employees are always sort of past tense, treated with respect or passive voice. So that means either you or somebody above you or the leadership or whatever. And so you might very well get both organizational responses. Well, they cut our benefits. That's not respectful. Or you're always interrupting us. That's not respectful either. Two different kinds of things, but you might capture both of them when you ask for examples where they hadn't been treated with trust and respect. You could also ask, what can I do to show that I'm treating you with respect? I will tell you, for many, many bosses, and as a general rule, bosses, a higher percentage of bosses are high Ds, dominant, forceful, direct, no-nonsense people, than the average people in organizations. And if you're a high D, a couple of the ways that you show a lack of respect for people is you interrupt, you raise your voice, and you don't use other people's names, and you don't smile. Those four behaviors. Now, you might say, well, I'm not comfortable with that. That's fine. If you're always going to be comfortable, get used to the salary you're making now. Right? Because that's basically what you're saying is, I don't want to change. Because change is hard. Change is uncomfortable. And in fact, change is what leads you to better performance. As Churchill said, the person who doesn't change his mind never changes anything. So you've got to be willing to listen and say thank you and understand that there'll be times when you'll get some stingers coming back at you. And you've got to be willing to address it. Now, it may be that a week or two later, you realize of those two types of comments, one about the org and one about you, you'll have to separate those and say, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Let's talk about whether or not we think this will work. But that's sort of in the future. All we're doing now is just getting information to help us think about what we might want to do. And if we've got 17 different questions that are low ranking, we're probably going to rank order them in terms of how we're going to do them. We're not going to try to attack all 17 at once. And so this might be one that you're going to attack in 6 months rather than in 2 months. I'm making that up, but just keep in mind, we're not going to try to attack everything all at once, right after we get all this raw data to fill out more details about each individual question on the survey.
Okay. Next one. Changes to the way we do things are well managed.
Yeah. So a low score here can be a tough one to swallow because, first of all, half of the world doesn't like change of any kind, no matter how well the process is managed. You'll have to listen in when you ask for the difference between those who don't like change generally and those who don't like a specific change, perhaps because it impacted them specifically, and also those who truly have insights to share about a poorly managed change. I don't think this is a particularly important question, but a lot of companies ask it, so okay. You might ask and then capture answers to the question, what changes have been made lately or even historically that weren't well managed? What made them that way? Now, sometimes, folks, you're going to hear it. It's going to be 2 years old. You say, that's good. That's a good lesson for us. We need to remember the next time we roll out a project similar to that, we don't do X. And you guys all have my authority that if we get down a path and we're a month into a project and one of you realizes we're about to make this mistake again, you can raise a red flag. I'll stop what we're doing. We'll talk about it and we'll figure out how to go around that pothole rather than driving over it all over again.
Okay. This organization has a good reputation as an employer.
Yeah. Here we see, again, the issue of multiple questions, kind of around a topic, trying to potentially tease out some specific weaknesses relative to hiring and retention. This is, you know, good reputation and managed, well-managed change and so on. But look, the answer here is to ask and capture. It's unlikely that comments for this question, this organization has a good reputation as an employer, are going to be specific to you. So you might ask, what are your thoughts on our reputation as an employer? If you wanted, you could go on and say, what recommendations do you have for improving it? Again, since it's unlikely to be about you, but if you thought it would be about you, go ahead. If they have a recommendation for how you can improve your reputation as a manager of the company, let them say, I think you should do X, and have whoever's writing it down. It might be you at this point in the meeting. It might be somebody else. Hopefully you're using visual record keeping and everybody gets to see it. Have them write it down and be smart enough and professional enough to say, thank you. There's risk if one of your people in a public meeting, remember, you're doing this, everybody's all together now. You're not having private email exchanges with people. Yeah.
All right, Mark, I think we've got enough for this week's cast. Let's end it here. And then next week, we'll continue with the roughly halfway there of getting through questions on organization strategy and culture.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Folks, thanks everyone. And we'll see you next week when we continue this topic.